Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Gracious and holy God, this morning and in these words of Scripture we ask, give us the wisdom we need to discover you, the intelligence we need to understand you. Give us, we pray, the diligence we need to seek after you and the patience we need to wait for you. Through the power of the Spirit of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. I'd like to begin this morning with a brainstorming activity with all of us here gathered. I'd like you to call out loudly and proudly, what do you think are some traits that a good Christian should exemplify? What are the characteristics you hope to find in a person who professes to be Christian? What do you think, Michael?
Tolerance.
Yeah, you should be tolerant. Compassion, I heard. Oh, he stole it. Melissa. You should be humble. You should have humility. Yes. Patience. Yes, you should have patience. You should be a good listener. Yeah.
Nonviolent.
Gentleness. Non-judgmental. Michael, you have another? Forgiving. Yeah. Yeah, that's a big one. That's a hard one, too. You should have courage. Yeah.
Generous.
You should, yes. You should obviously be generous, and I think we did a good show of that today, I should say. Those are all great answers, and I hope that our church contributes to the formation of Christians that live out all those values. But we're leaving out one particular virtue. It's one that I think is often forgot about. It gets left off the list that most people generate of the kind of people Christians should be. And if anyone should take the blame for our forgetting, I think it's the Apostle Paul. Because in his letters that are preserved for us in the New Testament, Paul talks about this virtue over and over and over. But the problem with Paul, as you may know, is that he is pathologically unable to say anything concisely. If it could be said in two words, Paul likes to say it in 20 or maybe 40. So I think that the problem with this yet-to-be-named virtue is that Paul never came up with a snappy, easy way for us to remember it. So this virtue that I'm referring to, I know you're probably on the edge of your seats wondering what it is. This virtue that Paul describes in different places is perseverance in times of trial or endurance in the face of struggle. He puts it both ways at various points. It's a beautiful sentiment, but it's just not very concise. Paul both encouraged others to practice this virtue, and he also exemplified it in his own life in really big ways. In the course of his ministry, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was dragged to testify for authorities, he was shouted down in town squares. But it didn't matter. The guy just kept pressing on. He kept preaching the good news to whomever he could get to listen. So I think we owe it to Paul this morning to find a more concise way of putting this Christian virtue that we might more readily recall it, that it may more readily inform the way we live our lives as Christians. So this morning I'm going to propose to you that we reach over to none other than the World Taekwondo Federation. Taekwondo, of course, is a Korean martial art, like Korean form of karate. And the World Taekwondo Federation has five tenets that they believe every practitioner should embody. And the fifth tenet is something that they call indomitable spirit. Indomitable spirit. And what the World Taekwondo Federation means by that is exactly what Paul describes. It means not giving up in the face of difficulties, hardships, or setbacks. It means not throwing up a white flag of surrender just because the odds aren't in our favor. Indomitable spirit. Now we see this virtue illustrated in almost all the major stories of the Old and New Testament, and I gotta say, it's on fantastic display in today's story from Jeremiah. So if you remember the story, God has Jeremiah write everything on a scroll. It gets read aloud in the temple. It gets torn up piece by piece, gets thrown into the fire by King Jehoiakim. And now to the modern mind, that may not seem like such a big deal, because printing and copying to us is not such a special thing. You can go to Staples and pick up a printer for about $50. You can take it home within 3 minutes, I'd say you'd have it out of the box. It takes maybe 5 more minutes to get it hooked up to your computer. But then $50 a car ride, and 8 minutes later, you can crank out page after page after page of text with no effort whatsoever. It's no sweat. No big deal. But that was not, it most certainly was not the case back in Jeremiah's day. Producing scrolls was an expensive and time-consuming thing. Everything from the paper to the ink to the brushes was handmade, and the writing process was an excruciatingly long process. When all was said and done, it took about 2,000 hours just to copy a single scroll. So 2,000 hours is about a year of work if you're putting in 40 hours a week. And then between the cost of materials and the cost of hiring a professional scribe, because most people couldn't actually write back then, the total cost of producing a scroll was around $40,000 in today's currency. $40,000. So just for perspective, that's the cost of two base model 2016 Priuses. That's the cost of a year's tuition at Harvard. That's the cost of 27 round-trip flights to and from Perth, Australia, the city that at 18,000 miles away is as far away from Boston on the globe as you can possibly get. 27 round trips. So when King Jehoiakim takes the scroll that Jeremiah and Baruch had made, and he cuts off section after section and throws them into the fire, it's like he's burning $1,000 bills. So this is all to say that the scroll that Jeremiah produced with Baruch's help represented a huge investment of resources, both time and money. And to have those resources literally go up in flames had to be discouraging to Jeremiah. It had to be interpreted as a huge setback to his ministry that he'd been working at since the young age of 17. But discouraged though he no doubt was by this setback, we're not told that Jeremiah moped about. We're not told that he cried. We're not told that he threw a fit or that he bellyached in any way like Jonah would have done. What we are told is that God asked Jeremiah to redo all the work that he had done, and that undeterred, Jeremiah got right back to it. Now what's more, the second scroll that Jeremiah made contained not only all the words that the king had originally burnt in the fire, but we're told in this morning's reading that he added much, much more. Jeremiah came back swinging. He had a spirit that was indomitable. Indomitable spirit, not giving up when we experience setbacks, moving forward despite the obstacles that loom before us. Although we don't often remember it, it's in our DNA as Christians. So on February 1st, 1960, at 4:30 p.m., when Franklin McCain and three other young African-American men sat at a whites-only counter at a Woolworth in Greensboro, North Carolina, and demanded to be served, they did so in the face of unspeakable odds. The law of the land was against them. Public sentiment was against them. And the chances of a violent response to their peaceful protest was near certain. But confident in the inherent goodness of their aim, they sat at that counter, they tried to order, and they refused to leave when asked. And this is how McCain described the internal experience of that now famous moment. 15 seconds after sitting down, I had the most wonderful feeling. I had a feeling of liberation, of restored manhood. I had a natural high, and I truly felt almost invincible. Mind you, I was just sitting on a dumb stool and hadn't even asked for service yet. But it's a feeling that I don't think I'll ever be able to have again. It's the kind of thing people pray for and wish for all their lives and never experience it. And I felt as though I wouldn't have been cheated out of life had that been the end of my life at that very second, at that very moment. Indomitable spirit. On that first day, February 1st, the four men stayed at the lunch counter until closing. The next day, they came back with 15 students. The third day, 300 joined in. Later, 1,000 joined in. The sit-in spread to the lunch counters across the country and changed history as we know it. Indomitable spirit. The spirit that was embodied by McCain, that was exemplified for us today by Jeremiah, and was epitomized in the ministry of Paul. That spirit is the inheritance of our faith. May we name it, may we claim it, and may we live it. Amen.